my friends. Welcome to the cleanup operation that is Out With The Old. A look back at Young 'Un's podcast episodes 1 to 100. Podcast episodes which ran between August 2006 and August 2008. Among those podcasts, there were some good bits. But let's be honest, a lot of it was rubbish, not particularly representative of the quality that the Young 'Uns give you nowadays. So what we're doing is we're going to purge those podcasts from the Young 'Uns and my own website. And we're going to make room for new podcasts starting at the end of January. But before we do that, we're looking back at some of the better bits from those podcast episodes, salvaging those better bits in this compilation series, which we call Out With The Old. We're currently up to part 5. Welcome to it. My name is David Eagle, and I have a rather unusual sensation up my backside. More on that later. Also coming up, dancing dogs. I embarrass myself in front of Mike Waterson. We attempt to introduce another new feature to the Young 'Uns podcast, but predictably, to no real avail. I get very confused. That's happened quite a lot in these podcast episodes. Also, I get very annoyed by a radio commercial. And I present a mini radio drama courtesy of the Mudcat Folk Forum. But we start, and I say but, it's quite a fitting way to start by saying the word but, because that's what we're going to be talking about right now. We're going to talk about my backside. I know a lot of people, my goodness, pull over, I can't take this. I don't know what he's going to say. I need to be in a steady state of mind here. This is the kind of stuff I've wanted to hear for a long time. We're going to talk about my backside in relation to a story that I told on the Young 'Uns podcast in 2007. And I told this anecdote to my fellow Young 'Uns, Sean Cooney and Michael Hughes, while we were on the road heading to a gig in York.
I had my back to the door. We're getting ready to go out. I was literally just getting hold of things and I was going out. All of a sudden, I felt this thing. And I thought, what the heck's going on? What was that? And I just felt this thing on my, like, trying to get going to my backside. And so I turned round and the newspaper dropped from the mailbox. And the newspaper man had literally just posted the newspaper into my arse. It was literally when I was going out. So I said to the newspaper man, is this a new post service? And I thought, well, the news is, you know, you could say, well, arguably the news is all crap, but I mean, that's taking it to an total extreme. So there you are. He could be carrier of the week as well.
At the start of 2008, we did a highlights podcast, and that was the highlights from previous folk guests that we'd had on our podcasts over the last year, over 2007. And one of those was Alex Cummings, who we've interviewed on later Young 'Uns podcast episodes. In the most recent series, we interviewed the Dirty Teacups, who changed their name to the Teacups because they discovered that Dirty Teacups has some kind of sexual connotation. But before the Dirty Teacups or the Teacups, Alex was in a few groups, one with his sister, the Folk Freaks, and so we did a little interview with them in 2007, and Alex gives us his rather unusual highlights of 2007.
And also we had a really sort of obscure gig this year, last year, not long ago, in December, which was a dog ceilidh.
A dog ceilidh?
Yes.
How does that work?
Well, I didn't know until I'd done it. Me and my sister and a couple of other people were asked to do a ceilidh for dogs, but I had to write some dances, and it had to be dances that dogs could do with their owners. And
right.
It was obscure, but it did work, and I thought that was a bit of a highlight, because that's just really random.
I'm just trying to work out, so did you get a video of this at all?
No, we're going to, we forgot the camera.
Oh, someone has got to have amnesty. There needs to be a campaign to get footage, or porridge as well. We need some porridge and footage of this dog ceilidh, which is Alex Cummings talking to us 6 years ago on the Young 'Uns podcast. We're going to hear more from this next character in future Out With The Old podcasts, probably in the next one, actually. As we've established on past Young 'Uns podcasts, I was getting Michael and Sean's name confused. Now, bearing in mind I'd known them for years, if I can get Michael and Sean's name confused, then there's obviously something wrong with me. I've got a problem where I basically get confused by people's names. So imagine how difficult that would be when you have a man who is called Phil Graham. You see the problem? He's got two names. He's got two Christian names. So, I mean, for someone who's not very good at remembering names, this really does confuse me, as you're about to hear. And throughout the entire thing, I keep calling him Graham. So this is a little clip with some shambolic presenting from myself, with a little interview with the phone guest, Phil Graham.
Stay forevermore!
Well, Graham, during Phil. That... Sorry, great, Phil.
Can we start again?
Phil, there's a little bloop before you, Sean, so you don't actually have to listen and think. I'm just feeding them to you now. We were talking earlier with Sean, Phil, about the fact that he's been listening to the podcasts and deliberately listening to my mistakes and writing them down and keeping a tally. So I don't know if I don't know if it's just a prejudice against me or if it'll be doing the same to you, but try and enunciate properly, okay? Because I called you up. As the listeners heard, and you said you were tied up at the garage. Has everything been taken care of in the garage?
Yes, just about. Just about. I have no complaints. It was just something I needed to pick up for my Bluetooth kit, and it's all sorted now.
Your Bluetooth kit. Okay, excellent. Well, you will do that in alternative dentistry, Graham. Okay, now. But.
Well, I don't laugh at him, but
I know. I said that and I cringed, and Graham laughed. Don't at least. You know. Polite. That's why I do have.
You called him Graham.
Phil. Anyway, yeah. what I should have been saying instead of messing around was. Sean, what was I trying to say? Can you remember? Are your shows like this? We're going to talk today about your own radio show that you do on. Is it Bishopton Radio?
Bishop FM.
Bishop FM, right. Yes. Okay. So. A synopsis, then, of what it is, Graham.
Well, listen, the Phil. First thing is, call me Phil. The thing is, it's not my radio.
Excellent, Graham. What we're going to do is...
You're not even doing it, are
you? No, I'm not.
It might be clever if you were doing it deliberately, but you're not.
This is manic, isn't it?
Excellent, Graham. Well, I'm going to... Phil, excellent, Phil. I'm going to hand you over to Sean. Have you got any questions you want to ask Phil before he goes? You don't have to take the phone.
I don't think he's there. Sean.
Rescue.
How's your mum? I know you should be asking the questions, but how's your mum?
Oh, yeah, she's fine, thanks.
All the listeners wanted to... That's the questions. You ask the questions that the rest of the podcast listenership want to know, Graham.
Sean has the most delightful mum, apart from my own, of course.
Phil Graham talking to us on the Young'uns podcast. We're going to hear more from Phil on our next Out With The Old podcast because we have a rather unusual relationship with him and with Terry Ferdinand, his co-presenter. But more on that next time round. Remember Trevor Lister, who was our old dothery friend. He was the folk club comedian at the Sun Inn. It would do poems and stories and jokes and that kind of thing. And we thought we'd have a bit of this on the podcast. So every week we'd ring him up and we'd challenge him to make us laugh. Well, as time went on, he became a little bit more dothery and seemed to be getting more and more confused by our calls. Basically, he would ring up and he wouldn't be ready for us. He'd say, I wasn't expecting you to call now and that kind of thing. And he started to panic a little bit when we called him. And I thought, he's going to have a nervous breakdown here. He's going to have a nervous breakdown. So we thought, let's give Trevor a bit of a rest. So we said, Trevor, we're putting you on hiatus. We're going to find a new character. And so what we did is we went back to the Sun Inn, basically plucked one of the regular characters who went to the Sun Inn, and we just went for him, basically, for no other reason than the fact that we thought, well, let's go for this particular man, because he's called Mick Shortle. He's not particularly funny. I mean, he's all right, but he's not particularly funny. He didn't tell any jokes or anything like that. But Shortle rhymes with Shortle. He's called Mick Shortle. Shortle rhymes with Shortle. Just as we had Trevor's Titters or Lister's Laughs for Trevor Lister's feature, we thought with a similar feature, Shortle's Chortle. What an excellent feature name. The only problem is, by his own admission, he doesn't really, he wouldn't class himself as a massively funny man. But we thought, let's not let that get in the way of a good feature title. And so we basically said to Mick, right, we're going to call you next week, Mick, and we're going to do a podcast feature with you. And again, he was pretty confused by the situation, as you would imagine. So I'm trying to put this into perspective. What we basically did with these people is we just confused them. We sort of bought them a drink, said, we're going to call you up for the podcast. Most of them didn't even know what a podcast were. I mean, bearing in mind these people in their 70s, most of the people didn't even know what a podcast was. We just said, we're going to call, it's like a radio show, we're going to call you up. Don't worry about it, we'll just lead you through it. The feature's called Shortle's Chortle. It's absolutely fine. And as you're about to hear, he got more and more confused by the feature. And towards the end, I think we nearly gave this man a nervous breakdown as well. So enjoy for the next few minutes our interesting feature, which we call Shortle's Chortle. Now, every good feature needs a jingle, which is why we haven't bothered with one. This is Mick Shortle's very own jingle. There's nothing like setting yourself up for a big fall, is there? Building this up and it's just going to be absolutely rubbish.
Here's a man they call Mick Shortle. So much more than just a mere mortal. He opens up the door to his comedy portal. It's time for a feature, Shortle's Jortle.
Hello, Mike Shortle speaking.
It's David Eagle from the Young'uns.
I know it is.
How are you?
Fine, except for me foot.
Your foot? Oh no, you've been playing tennis today. Was this a tennis injury?
No, the foot is just, it's an age thing, I think.
An age thing, right, so your foot is...
I get a name called plantar fasciitis, and it means a pain in the heel that they don't understand that well.
So you've got a thing which is a plantar fasciitis, which means pain in the heel. I wonder what the equivalent of pain in the arse would be. In medical terms. Well, I'm actually ringing you, Michael, because we're doing a bit for the podcast this week that you were offered your services to us in 2008, of course, as a replacement to Trevor's Titters, Shortle's Chortle. Now, we have explained that we're doing this simply because it rhymes, for no other reason. I mean, I'm sure you are a hilarious character, Mick, but we're doing this purely on the basis of name first, feature second. Now...
Okay, well, what am I supposed to do now?
So what we're going to do, then, for next week, we'll have to think of something. So I'll leave it up to you in your capable hands of finding a piece of prose or literature or poetry that makes you laugh, a little anecdote that you might like to share with us, a story perhaps, a little limerick of some... Trevor Lister was very keen on his limericks. Are you up for the challenge, Mick, of us calling you sometime next week and you try and make the listeners chortle? Are you up for the challenge, my friend?
I find it intimidating, to be fair.
Well, I'm not surprised.
You're such a quiet and introverted sort of chap.
Exactly.
See what I mean?
But we could, yes, but Mick, we could bring you, this could be your moment of glory that you never envisaged happening before. You know, there you are, this as you say, an introverted man. Suddenly you could be, we could be releasing Shortle's Chortle, volume 74, and you could be on Broadway doing the Shortle's Chortle musical or something like that. Who knows? We'll give you a call next week anyway, and we'll see what happens, because we've got a jingle for this feature and everything, so we really have gone to town, Mick, on Shortle's Chortle. Thank you very much.
All right, David.
We'll speak shortly.
Bye.
All right, bye.
Shortle's Chortle is sponsored by Canned Laughter, a funny-tasting fizzy drink.
Talking of podcast features...
Yes, Sean?
What did you make of... Shortle's Chortle last week.
Comic genius, isn't it? We've had a few emails. We've had an email from one person, Sean, which said Shortle's Chortle was utterly laughable, so I think they enjoyed it. What a privilege it is, because you can now hear, you can now be a part of Shortle's Chortle, in fact.
Oh, I want to be firmly in the background, I want to hear you charm him into I'm sure he hasn't got anything prepared.
Well, let's find out as we call Mick Shortle for Shortle's Chortle.
Hey. Here's a man they call Mick Shortle, so much more than just a mere mortal. He opens up the door to his comedy portal. It's time for a feature, Shortle's Chortle.
I won't offend his wife.
Hello?
Hello, Mike Shortle from Shortle's Chortle fame.
All right.
Yes, this isn't David Eagle. This is an adoring fan of yours. Now, I heard you last week and just thought, absolutely brilliant. Unbelievable. You have me in stitches. Unbelievable. Anyway, so no, Mick, last week we spoke to you and you gave us a tremendous insight into your life, although one thing I actually realised, I did say that you lived at home with your wife. We didn't mention any children. Do you have children, Mick?
I have one daughter.
Okay.
Now, of course, we have grandchildren.
And you've got, of course, grandchildren as well, right, okay. So, are you a person, Mick, who relishes the opportunity to have, not to have children? I mean, you know, I'm trying to do something, make something out of this, Sean. Help me out. When you were younger, did you want the children? Did you want the children, Mick? Originally?
Well, the child.
The child. Did you want the child at first?
A bit personal.
I just couldn't think of another question. Well, the child came along then.
Oh, keep digging. You're doing well.
Excellent. Okay. And had a granddaughter. So how many grandchildren have you got?
Two
grandchildren, right, okay. And what kind of age?
13, the boy, and 8, the little girl.
So were they around for the Christmas period?
Oh, yeah, we go to their house.
Oh, right, okay, right. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, that's the brilliant thing about Christmas. It's probably one of the lowest, not lowest, but we didn't have much of a family at this time of Christmas. What with people dying and things like that? There's a bit of, this is what we call Shortle's Chortle, listeners. Now, I don't suppose you have any, but your reaction there, mate, I presume that you don't have anything for us. Am I right in thinking this?
About what? You went that fast, please, you know.
Would you like to speak to Sean instead? Sean's just blowing his nose. He's got an allergy to this feature. Well, what we were thinking is, Trevor Lister used to give us some poetry or a limerick or a joke or a story or just make noises at us. Is there anything that you could provide us with? Maybe not, if not this week, should we try and think? Should I give you a subject or anything, Mick, for next week's Chortle's Chortle? His breathing's getting heavier, he's palpitating at this feature. Is this like his worst? Is this like is this the worst thing that's happened to you all week, Mick?
What, this interview?
This interview, yeah.
Well, it's getting on now.
Excellent. Well, maybe what we'll do then next week is we'll just call you up, have a chat, and I'll just put candle after over your voice. Because they do that, don't they? I mean, they're really rubbish comedies. They just put candle after and people reckon it's funny.
All right.
So should we just do that next week and see what happens?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's just do that. So, things to think about. Well, let's talk about this now, actually. You've not played tennis yet, have you?
I'm not what?
You've not played tennis yet. That's the Thursday, isn't it? We're meeting on a Wednesday.
Tomorrow morning.
Right, okay. Well, can we have, then, if we can't have a tennis update, can we have a fracturitis update, which is, of course, the technical Latin term for a pain in the heel?
I went to see the physiotherapist, and she was really, really good.
Excellent. Now, I'll tell you what, then. I've got some kind of candle after here, so I'll just put, for the last 30 seconds of this conversation, we'll just put random aspersions of candle after on. So you went to see the physiotherapist. She said things were improving, then, did she?
She explains how it happens.
Okay.
And I sort of exposed my calves to be fondled and tested for tension and this sort of thing.
Right, so she's fondled your calves.
Yeah.
And then she says that's very good.
Correct way to do the exercise, which stretch them. They need stretching, you see.
Right, again.
But they never considered stretched calves, but they're obviously a desirable object.
No. And if you are just shepherd and you've just tuned into the Young's podcast, then it's not some advice from you. That is literally, he's talking about physiotherapy. Just in case, because we do get a lot of shepherds listening. Especially after the Christmas nativity that we did.
With the exercise.
Excellent. There we are. We've rescued it towards the end, mate. We've got a great banter going on between us, I think, haven't we? Like, we really are a good double act.
We could try.
Shortle and Eagle. Would you prefer Eagle and Shortle? Which one? Shorter Eagle. Eagle-ortle.
I've lost a word now. I was going to say bird of prey and, you know.
Yeah, bird of prey, but then there's nothing for Mike Shortle.
It won't come.
It won't, no. Okay, but we wish you will have another physiotherapy update this time next week, and we will also, I'll have to stop calling you Trevor, that's one thing we're going to have to stop doing. Well, also, Mick, we'll have a tennis update as well.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Mick, you have made us chortle. Thank you very much, Mick Shortle, comedy genius.
Shortle's Chortle is sponsored by Canned Laughter, a funny-tasting fizzy drink.
Go on then, Sean Cooney, as I put down the phone, says he wants to relive the highlight of our interview.
What was it? So, Mike, that one child, so the children was something you were wanted to, I mean, like, children, and all the time he's shaking his hands. So, did you want them? But was the child wanted? Did you want the child, Michael?
I was just trying to take something, which is like it was like being at a dead end, and you thought, look, I can turn back, or I can just try and, barricade it.
Can I ask him if he ever considered getting rid of his
shoulder? Exactly. Wouldn't it be great if he said, if he actually went really serious, he says, well, my wife and I did consider abortion originally. And Shortle just goes into an ethical discussion about this. And then we get Mike on for his theological perspective, and it's to Michael Hughes.
Here's a man they call Mick Shortle, so much more than just a mere mortal. He opens up the door to his comedy portal. It's time for a feature, Shortle's Chortle.
Hello?
Hello, Mick Shortle. Just as your life was looking...
Time for this, young man.
You haven't got time?
No. I'm busy.
Goodbye then.
All right, bye bye.
Goodbye. Unbelievable. Well, I've got to say, listeners, for one of the features that we've probably put the most effort into that we've ever done in the Young'uns podcast, we've got, not only now have we got our token introductory jingle, which we've just played, which heralds forth Mick Shortle. We've got our outro jingle as well, which we play at the end. I've also got some special tailor-made jingles for Mick Shortle's updates, because Mick Shortle was our correspondent for prangfafferitis, which is the Latin technical term for a pain in the heel, because Mick Shortle has a pain in the heel. But unfortunately, we made a little jingle for this, and it seems a waste not to play it. But I would have liked to have played the jingle and then gone straight in to Mick Shortle's pain in the heel update. Unfortunately, that won't be happening. I'll play the jingle for you anyway, because I've bloody put the effort into making it. So this is probably never to be heard again. Mick Shortle's prangfafferitis, which is Latin, of course, for pain in the heel, update jingle. Now, exclusive to the Young'uns podcast, it's the prangfafferitis update. Everything you need to know about Mick Shortle's pain in the heel. So there you are. At that point, I would have liked to have said that Mick Shortle would have divulged his pain in the heel information to us, but that's not going to happen. I'm really annoyed, because then my second jingle I had for him was for his tennis update. Not just any old tennis, though, listeners. Mick Shortle plays soft tennis with a soft ball. Not only that, it's indoor, adult, mature tennis with a soft ball. I'll play you the jingle for this. This is Mick Shortle's tennis update jingle. Now, exclusive to the Young'uns podcast, it's Mick Shortle's Mature Adults Indoor Tennis Played with a Soft Ball update. And I would have liked to have faded down the music for that and have said, Mick Shortle, you know, how have you got any tips and tricks for the audience who may be wanting to get into playing indoor mature adult tennis with a soft ball? Quite a harrowing experience for me was meeting Mike Watson, who was a bit of a hero, I suppose. Unfortunately, managed to meet him. We went to see a gig that he did with Lou Killen, and this is at the Welly Folk Club, which is run by the Wilsons in Billingham. As you're about to hear in this clip, I kind of embarrassed myself a little bit in front of Mike Watson.
And I like Mike Watterson's songs. I think he's a great songwriter.
Hmm. Did you get a chance to see Mike Watterson when he came to the Welly?
I did, yes, he was great.
Did you hear then my embarrassing little homage to Mike? That was terrible. Oh, that was horrible. I'm not even...
You could forget.
I don't dare listen to that back. I don't dare listen to that back.
I'd just like to say, you know what I mean. I'm just in the middle of the... Without you, I mean, just... Well, let's sing this. Not for you, but yeah, pay a second. Thank you.
I
couldn't quite see his face.
Well, it was because it was, we just heard that week, or so, that, at least in that, month, we just listened to Bright Fever, so we'd done the whole thing. Then we had the other Mike Watson material, so I'd listened to that. And then this thing came along, the fact that he was performing. And so I had all these songs sort of fresh in my mind. And, you know, I mean, it becomes somewhat, not hero as such, but it was really good. So I just thought, I must say something that really just sums up what he's meant to us. And I didn't do that in the slightest. I just sort of blabbered on like a complete fool. And there's Mike and Sean who were just going, yeah, come on, David, come on. There's a lot of people here waiting to sing. And I'm like, and basically, Michael.
Don't know, we want to hear you more from you. Keep going, Mr. Eagle. Gush away,
isn't it? Oh, dear. You're listening to Out With The Old, a look back at Young'uns podcast episodes 1 to 100. And what we're going to do is we're going to purge these podcasts from the Young'uns and my own website, because a lot of it is nonsense. And I don't mean good nonsense. What we're doing is we're taking the good nonsense, or the not too bad nonsense, and we're putting it all together in this compilation package. I applied for a job last week. As for a creative writing position. So that's basically, they want someone who can write adverts. Now, I didn't get the job. So I think, what do I need then? I need experience, but I need role models. I need to listen to the creme de la creme of creative writing. I need to listen to commercial radio. I know, listeners, I know, but these things must be done, you know, if you want to make it. Sometimes you've got to even stoop to that level of listening to commercial radio. So, I'm going to play you this advert now. Have a listen.
Jamie's Tiles has miles of tiles.
Hi, Jamie's Tiles, Newcastle. Walter here.
Hi, Walt. Jamie here.
Have you put up the 10% off or free adhesive and grout?
Well, which offer is it? 10% off or free adhesive and grout?
You choose.
Me? Why would I choose?
No, not you. Ask the customers which one they choose.
Oh, I see. They choose free adhesive or 10% off on every single tile.
That's right. You've got it.
Jamie's. Open every day behind the Centre for Life, Newcastle, and just off the Queen Alexandra Bridge, Sunderland.
Tell me one more time.
Jamie's Tiles has miles of tiles. There's miles of tiles at Jamie's Tiles.
Thank you.
And, oh, and that's the reason. So obviously, I just understood. I felt embarrassed after hearing that advert. I felt embarrassed because I thought, these people, you know, they're just, these people are a cut above me. I have chosen creative technique, and it is called sarcasm. I have been using this creative technique throughout this last 2 or 3 minutes. I don't know if you noticed. Now, what's the problem with that advert? If you haven't worked it out already, firstly, what the heck's going on with the acting?
Hi, Jamie's Tiles, Newcastle. Walter here.
Hi, Walt. Jamie here. Have you put up the 10% off or free adhesive and grout?
Well, which offer is it? 10% off or free adhesive and grout?
You choose.
Me? Why would I choose?
No, not you. Ask the customers which one they choose.
It's the worst acting ever.
They choose.
The man playing Walt. He's all right. I can see him going far. He'll be on adverts in the future. You'll be listening to him. He'll be on radio adverts across the country. That man's going far. Walt's all right. He's putting life into it. But Jamie, on the other hand, I'm sorry, the man playing Jamie, he's not putting any life into this at all.
No,
it's
not
terrible.
You. Ask the customers which one they choose.
Oh, I see. They choose free adhesive or 10% off on every single tile.
That's right. You've got it.
Jamie. That is the worst acting ever. That's right. You got it. Put a bit more life into it, mate. That's the acting. But that's got, you didn't apply for an acting position. You applied for a creative writing position. And there was nothing wrong with the script. There's everything wrong with the script. The script has... Now, bear in mind, this is a 40-second plot line. There's holes in the plot. The plot line doesn't make sense. Now, that's a big achievement. In a 20 to 25-second dialogue, having a plot that doesn't follow is quite an achievement, really. Quite an achievement of sloppy advertised writing.
Have you put up the 10% off or free adhesive and grout?
Well, which offer is it? 10% off or free adhesive and grout?
You choose.
Me? Why would I choose?
No, not you. Ask the customers which one they choose.
That's the bit. You choose. Me? Why would I choose? No, not you. Ask the customer. As if he says it as if it's obvious. Now, you may be listening to this and thinking, you're being very nitpicky, David. No, I'm not being very nitpicky. I got turned down for a creative writing job. This person didn't get turned down for the creative writing job. This person got the job. And I'm picking holes in the script, because the script doesn't make any sense. He says, you choose. And Walt says, what, me choose? Why would I choose? And Jamie says, no, not you, the customer. Why? Almost as if he's saying it in the voice, why would you think that I meant you choose? Well, I'll tell you why, because you said you choose. Why wouldn't you just say in the verses, oh, the customer chooses? You'd have knocked about 7 seconds off that. And everybody knows how important that is in advertising. Cheaper. It's cheaper advertising. You've knocked 7 seconds off there, David. Well done. But this sloppy script writing, I'm sorry, sloppy. Just listen again.
Have you put up the 10% off or free adhesive and grout?
Well, which offer is it? 10% off or free adhesive and grout?
You choose.
Me? Why would I choose?
No, not you. Ask the customers which one they choose.
Oh, I see,
he says. No, don't say, oh, I see. You say, what are you talking about, Jamie, you moron? You told me to choose. Don't patronise me, you moron. Perhaps writing wasn't my true calling. Perhaps acting is my true calling. And I think you'll agree when you hear this next clip. And it's kind of like a little bit of a radio drama, I suppose, courtesy of the Mudcat Forum, the Fork Forum Mudcat. And like typical, doesn't matter what forum it is, there's always someone or some people who just get annoyed. They know they apply pseudonyms and stuff, and they can hide behind a computer keyboard and a computer screen, so they just vent their spleen. So, a little bit of a hoo-ha going on the Mudcat Forum about the Glasson Festival. And they've all got quite odd names on these forums, aliases, as a lot of people do. So we're going to hear now from Red Rose Blue Nose, who has this to say about Glasson.
Whose daft idea was it to make two of the main performance areas open-sided, unheated marquees in freezing March? It's unfair on the performers, outdoor stall holders, and the audience. Me? I'm buggered off home to get warm. Well, I won't be going next year at all. Unless things drastically change.
Anyway, responding to the comment made by Red Rose Blue Nose, killer whale rears its head and aims its tail to thrash in the direction of Red Rose Blue Nose. Thank you for the good news, Red Rose Blue Nose, that you are unlikely to be attending Glasson next year. Thankfully, several thousand people appear to not share your concerns. Red Rose Blue Nose comes back with a harpoon, a verbal harpoon.
Perhaps some of you like to suffer to hear your music, but I don't. I'm sorry that I don't appear to be singing from the same approved hymn book as the rest of you. I was just explaining why the numbers will be further depleted next year by at least three of us.
Oh my God, take heed, Class and Maritime organisers of 2009. Red Rose Blue Nose has spoken. She is the voice of three people. A guest chips in. Well, I feel sorry for Red Rose Blue Nose. What an uncompromising, miserable, self-centred individual. Charmaine simply has this to say. Well said. To the guest who made those comments about Red Rose Blue Nose. Well said. Tyke has this to say. As for the chairman, who now thinks it funny to hide his identity with multiple aliases and thinks it highly amusing, I have put down his failure to respond to my PM, which means private message, I do believe, asking for information. I've got to explain what all this is about. This chairman, right, it transpires as you read on, that this chairman who Tyke is talking about is actually Charmaine. Tyke appears to have, for some reason, misconstrued this whole thing. I don't know whether he's dyslexic, so he now reckons that this person who he's been speaking to, this Charmaine, is the chairman of the Glasson Festival. So he's now got on his high horse. But the thing is, Tyke, it's not the chairman, it's Charmaine, a totally different spelling. So bear that in mind when Tyke starts going spouting this off, okay? As for the chairman, who's not the chairman, but never mind, who now thinks it's funny to hide his identity with multiple aliases and thinks it highly amusing, I have put his failure to respond to my private message asking for information as an oversight due to pressures of work. I now discover it was nothing to do with that at all. This person, while posing as a friend, an oracle of all knowledge, and with the best interests of the Lancashire Maritime Festival at heart, seems to be giving himself delusions of grandeur to wreak as much havoc as he can. Now this chairman, or Charmaine, replies to Tyke. I have only one alias, and that is Charmaine, not the chairman. I am a lady, you know. Well, no, it is quite difficult to tell, though, by your voice. I will now move it a little bit higher. I have never received a PM from Tyke. After such an unfounded and confusing attack, I think I shall retire from this thread. Killer whale resurfaces. Don't take yourself so seriously, Tyke. And please don't tell other people what comments they can and can't make on Mudcat. It's only an electronic chat forum, for Christ's sake. Tyke replies to Killer Whale. And this is my favourite one of all. It needs some reverb on this one, because obviously Tyke thinks himself above everybody else. My dear guest, Killer Whale, you are a guest. If you're a little bit confused by that, I'll explain that some people are members of the Mudcat Forum, which means they've signed up. Other people prefer to just be guests and just to sort of log in and just to kind of leave messages whenever they want. So this Killer Whale is a guest, whereas Tyke, he's not a guest, he's a member, which is why he's treating this Killer Whale with a little bit of... He's not treating him with as much respect. He's putting him in his place and reminding Killer Whale he's only a guest. My dear guest, Killer Whale. You are a guest. You should be a little politer to the Mudcat membership.
And that includes myself. I will make the private message that I sent to this chairman or charmain, then in brackets, the one he or she denies receiving, public. And I just think, she said she's a woman, but for some reason he still doesn't believe, so he's now resorting to he or she, and still refuses to not acknowledge the fact that she's not the chairman of the Glasson Festival. So bear in mind that Tyke is insistent that he sent this private message to Charmaine, or the chairman, as he's, again, insistent on calling this person, even though she says she's a she, but again, he's insistent that it's a he/she now. So this Tyke appears to be a little bit confused, and hasn't really, in my eyes, done himself any favours. So when I then read the next part from words from Tyke, I'm starting to doubt whether he's actually got any sanity whatsoever. Correction. I have just received a private message from Charmaine. As a result, I have checked my sent items folder, and it would appear that the message I did send him or her... it's a she, for God's sake. ...has not been archived. So basically, he's looked in his sent messages folder, he can't find the message. But I definitely sent it to him or her. Well, I don't think you're in any position to talk, Tyke, because you can't even recognise the difference between men, women, the chairman of the festival, and someone calling themselves Charmaine, and, to top it all off, you're rude to everybody else on the forum. Remember, I am a member. You are a guest. Bow to me. However, I did send. He's written however twice. You can tell he's really panicking now. His sentence structure's all over the rest. However, I did send Charmaine a message. However, he's written however again. However, due to a possible failure in transmission, I am prepared to apologise to him or her. Oh, for God's sake, it's a woman! Whoever she or he is. It's like, oh dear, Tyke. Well, thank you very much for listening. There's not really much more for me to say because we're going to move straight on to the next podcast. When I finish this, the next podcast is going to be released. So join me for the next in the series of Out With The Old. Until then, from me, David Eagle, thank you for listening. Goodbye.